I am so thankful that Hollywood is finally catching up to Jesus. Jesus used parables just a few millennia before Hollywood came out. But we are thankful that even using the big screen, we can continue to tell this amazing story about who God is. Mark and Roma Downey produced a 10-hour TV miniseries called The Bible. Anybody ever hear of that? Very recent, not too long ago. We have it in our church library as well. Over 100 million people in the United States alone watched that particular series. And out of that, they have put together a major motion picture release called... Okay, you see it on the screen. No, that's it. The Son of God. And then Rick Warren came along and partnered beside them and put together a six-week series, which I am stealing, and we are going to go through, even as we share in our journey together toward Easter and beyond. We're going to be talking about Jesus' baptism and our baptism, Jesus' temptation and our temptation, Jesus' suffering, our suffering, Jesus' death, our death, Jesus' resurrection, our resurrection, and ultimately, even the Sunday after Easter, Jesus' ministry and our ministry. Actually, Bob, you can just leave it on that other slide for quite a while. We'll get there in just a minute. As we looked at Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17, it gives us this picture that even before Jesus started his ministry, even before he preached his first sermon, before he ever performed his first miracle, before he ever went to the cross, the Bible says he came to John the Baptist at the Jordan River for what purpose? To be baptized. It all starts with his baptism. And as we saw in that passage, John actually tried to stop Jesus from having John baptize him. In fact, he said, "You should be the one baptizing me." Jesus said, "Nope, we have to do this." Jesus said, "I have to do this. It's what my Father wants." So John the Baptist obediently baptized Jesus. The Bible tells us that when Jesus stepped out of the water, he stepped out into his public ministry. This was the first step of a disciple to step into the waters of baptism. So, what is baptism and what's it all about? We see the Bible tells us John baptized people as a sign of their repentance for their sins, but Jesus had no sin. So, why in the world was Jesus baptized? Because Jesus' baptism was his way of identifying with us this idea that we were a part of sinful humanity. And just as Jesus did not die for his own sins, he was not baptized for his own sins either. But in his baptism, Jesus was showing us the way to live and giving us a model that we are to follow. Jesus once said this, "I didn't come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it." And in the same way, he didn't come to abolish baptism, but he came to fulfill it and to give it a complete, full meaning, which now means death to sin and the old way of life and resurrection into a new, brand new way of living. That's now what baptism can mean for us. Jesus came up out of the water. He was revealed for who he truly was. There in verse 16 of Matthew 3, it says, "And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water," that means he was down under the water and now is coming up from the water, "suddenly," or at that moment, and in fact, you may even want to circle that word "suddenly" or "at that moment," "the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I'm well pleased.'" When Jesus publicly obeyed the Father in baptism, the Father publicly affirmed him as the Son. And notice again what the Father says, "This is my Son, I love him, I'm proud of him." Now, do you know that the Father says the same three things about each of us. It's when we identify with Jesus in baptism. God says, "You are my son, you are my daughter, I love you, I'm proud of you." And we want God to be pleased with us. We understand it's about taking a simple step of obedience and to be baptized the way Jesus was baptized, as a symbol of death, of burial, and of resurrection. So, from Roma Downey, let's watch it. Let's watch the scene of John baptizing Jesus, and then we're going to talk about what it really means for us.
There is one to come, greater than me, who will baptize with fire. I am just a voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for them.
Lord. Don't stop. Surely I need you to baptize me. John, what you are doing is right.
When Jesus was baptized,
when this idea of being lowered and raising back up again, it's the symbol, the picture of exactly what it is for us today as well. If you have your Bibles and want to turn, we're also going to be looking at Romans chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. It's a great passage that the Apostle Paul gives us of this idea of what baptism is all about. In Romans 6, verses 2 through 4, we hear these words: "By no means, how can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." So, when we go under the water, it symbolizes that you have died and been buried with Jesus Christ. Baptism is always a symbol of a burial when you come up out of the water. It symbolizes that you too have been raised with Christ into a whole new life. Out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, we'll read these words as well. As soon as I can figure out the lights. Huh, there we go. How hard is that? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." That's the meaning of baptism. So we're going to look at four reasons today why the Bible tells us that we are to be baptized. Number one, you need to be baptized because Jesus demonstrated it. He modeled it by his own baptism. Jesus was saying, if you truly want to be my disciple, then you need to identify with me. You need to follow me into the water. If I needed to do this, Jesus said, then so do you. We do it because Jesus demonstrated it. Number two, you need to be baptized because Jesus commanded it. Jesus commanded all his followers to be baptized just like he was. How about Matthew 28, verse 19? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is simply an option. But it's an option that is not only encouraged, but given as a form of a command. It's a commandment for every follower of Jesus. You want to be a disciple? You want to be in his family? You need to be baptized. 1 John 2:3. Now by this we may be sure that we know him if we obey his commandments. How do you prove you're a follower of Jesus? How do you prove you've been saved, you're a Christian, that you're a child of God? You obey Jesus' commands. And one of those many commands, in fact, the first, is that we are baptized. Number three, baptism is your public statement that you belong to Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't make you a believer. Can we say that together? Baptism doesn't make you a believer. It just shows you that you are a believer. It's the outward symbol of an inward commitment. We might even call it the wedding ring of the Christian life. The ring on my finger here doesn't make me married, but it's a public statement. It's a reminder of a commitment that I made in my heart. And in your commitment to Jesus Christ, that's what saves you. The vow to love, to serve, to honor, to receive God's grace. Baptism says to the world, I'm not ashamed to tell the whole world what's happened to me. I've given my life to Christ. Baptism is saying to the world, just like this wedding ring says, I'm not ashamed to say that I love Jesus. A little boy one time asked Pastor Rick Warren, Pastor Rick, when can I get advertised? Isn't that cool? It's because that's really exactly what baptism is. Baptism is an advertisement for Jesus. Now, he got his words a little bit mixed up there. We were watching on Sunday night a couple of phrases from people on the street, and they said, I'm really glad that Noah got to be down in the belly of that whale for such a long time. Well, he's getting two things mixed up there. So it's not when can I get advertised, but yes, it is. It's an advertisement that says, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So, are we ashamed to be identified with Jesus? Do we want to keep our relationship with him a secret, like a secret disciple? Unfortunately, or fortunately, there are no secret agent believers. Out of Luke chapter 9, verse 26, we're told this, if you're ashamed of me in front of the world, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father in heaven. Very serious words. Baptism tells the world that you are not ashamed to say, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. Have you been baptized since you came to faith in Christ? If you haven't, what are you waiting for? In the Bible, there is no such thing as a person claiming to be a follower of Jesus, a disciple, and not being baptized. You see, it was automatic, and not only that, it was immediate. How about Acts chapter 8, verse 12? It says, when they believed, they were baptized. Or Acts 16, 33, in the middle of the night, the jailer and his family believed, and guess what? They were baptized. In Acts 18, when the Corinthians heard Paul preach about the good news, they believed and were baptized. Believing and baptism go together. And out of Acts chapter 8, we have the first African believer who was baptized. He was an Ethiopian official, and it goes like this out of verses 35 to 38 of chapter 8. Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And they were going along the road. They came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. You see, in the New Testament, and in the New Testament church, there was never any delay between believing and baptism. On the Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were baptized that very day. When people came to faith in Jesus Christ, it was immediate that their next step was to publicly identify themselves by being baptized. So, let's try those three out again. You need to be baptized because Jesus demonstrated it. He was baptized because Jesus commanded it, and because it's your public statement that you belong to Christ. And then there's a fourth reason. Baptism is not just a symbol of our salvation. Baptism is a symbol of incorporation. My baptism says I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm a member of the family of God. My baptism says I'm not just a believer, I'm also a belonger. Paul writes to the early church at Corinth out of chapter 12, 13, and 27, "For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." And he keeps going in verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Our baptism says that we are a part of the global church, even as Brother Judd prayed in that regard earlier in our message. The glorious family of Jesus Christ that's going to go on and on forever. It's our initiation, our incorporation, our identification. So, what does it take to be baptized? There is one qualification in the Bible for baptism. You must believe. You must believe that Jesus Christ is who He says He was, the Son of God, that He died for your sins, and that He rose again from the grave on Easter. So that is the question for us today. Do we believe? Maybe we've never settled this issue, or you've always had doubts on whether you may be a church member or whether you're not, or maybe you've had this relationship with Christ. This is not about religion. It's about a relationship. And we might have to answer the question, well, do I really have that personal relationship? Have I stepped across the line? Do I know for sure where my eternal destination will be? And if you're not sure, then that is where we get the greatest promise in all of God's Word. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Out of John 3:16. It's the promise also that is spoken of over in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's a promise of God's Word, not our feelings that we rely on. And you'll notice that Romans 10 did not say you might be saved. It says you will be saved. What great news. You can know for sure now, and you could do that by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord of your life. So how do we do that? It is, in fact, through prayer. And as we have the opportunity to prepare for our time of fellowship together here in just a few minutes, it is our prayer to close even this part of worship today with a reaffirming prayer. with one that many of you have already prayed many, many years ago. Some of you have prayed recently. But if you've never made this profession, it is in fact a time and a place to do that. I'm going to lead us in the prayer. You can pray out loud. You can pray in your heart. The important part is the attitude of your heart in which we pray. So let's bow our heads and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, I want to confess with my mouth and I want to believe in my heart that you are who you say you are. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to earth to show how much God loves me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe that you came back to life on Easter to prove that you are the Son of God. And I believe, Jesus Christ, that you will forgive all my sins and that you will take me home to be with you in heaven. So here's my humble request. Dear Jesus Christ, I ask you to accept me into your family. I ask you to forgive my sins. I want to turn from my way to your way. I want to learn to love. And dear God, if I've never been baptized as Jesus was, I want to follow you in that public statement to say I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And so I ask this prayer humbly in faith in your name. And all God's people said, Amen.